How will you continue to combat DUIs, DWIs, seatbelt enforcement, and texting while driving? What do you see as the best solution to decreasing these numbers?
Right now, Stearns County is still in the top 10. When I started, we were in the top 13 of the most deadliest counties in Stearns County. Some of it's got to do with our large size and the amount of traffic that is traveling. But it does also have to do with the drinking and driving, the drugs. There's a lot more drug impairment that we're seeing out there on the street. And it actually doesn't even happen anymore on just Friday and Saturday nights. We've had DWIs at 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning on a Monday. It's kind of crazy to see that now. As far as traffic enforcement goes, we do a pretty decent job, I believe, as a patrol staff of doing that. Obviously, when we only have so many people to do only so much with, we have to kind of squeeze that in between taking calls. As Dave said, we're kind of reactive, so there's not a lot of time to be proactive. We do have what we call drop days, where we have more officers than other days working. On those particular days, I have assigned personally a couple officers to do warrant details, but also a couple officers to do special traffic details, just to pick some particular roads, take the laser radar out, or I've had them go into a undercover vehicle, basically a pickup truck where they sit a little higher and just watch for texting while driving at stoplights and do some extra enforcement that way. Traffic is important. As far as keeping people alive, I believe, again, going back to education is big. If we can get into the schools and educate kids around the key times, the proms and the homecomings, and traffic being a key component of the education part of it, to instruct them in the way, making better choices, I guess, would be the best way to put that. We do scenario things. A lot of cities you'll see do scenarios, mock car accidents, things like that. The sheriff's office would be involved in those type of things. We would continue. Right now, we're still we're a member agency in Towards Zero Deaths, which is state granted money, extra money for doing overtime traffic events. There's different ways for different things, whether it's wearing seatbelt or speed. I would continue to keep us involved in that as the sheriff, and continue to have traffic enforcement be a in the top priorities of the sheriff's office.
Thank you, Mr. Soika. Ms. Bentrud, how do you see yourself combating DUIs, DWIs, seatbelt enforcement, texting while driving? If you're elected sheriff, what do you see as the best solution to decreasing those numbers?
As sheriff, I would work hard to try to establish a administrative fine citation in Minnesota. Minnesota Sheriff's Association came really close to drafting some legislation that would allow police agencies to write administrative citations. What I see when it comes to the deterrence of traffic citations, the vast majority of the case, the individuals who are getting traffic citations are the really bad drivers. They're getting pounded. The drivers who don't have a violation, sometimes they'll get a citation. Oftentimes they're getting a warning. So there's no deterrent effect in a lot of the stops that are being made. In Wake Park, we had a program called Drive Smart, where it was if we arrested or stopped somebody for speeding or running a red light, they had the option of going either paying a fine, the state fine, or go to a Drive Smart course that we sponsored. It was a two-hour course. It was half the money of a regular citation. Didn't go on their record. We talked about everything from not only the offense that they were stopped for, but also texting and driving and all of those other things. We got very good reviews from the officers. The officers that taught the course got very good reviews. And we actually saw recidivism or repeat violations actually go down slightly. So I think, we need to think outside the box on some of these issues when it comes to deterring traffic and those types of things. It seems to me when I started my career, we would get into fights over overtime spots. It's getting tough today for the younger officers to get them to sign up for some of the TZD details that are out there. cops have a heart. They'd be reluctant to slap a $140 fine on somebody that's never had a violation before. Can't we find a middle ground that maybe has a deterrent effect? There's a lot of things that we could talk about. You know, trace amounts. We've had some traffic fatalities and where there's been a trace amount of illicit drugs, but not enough to maybe get them impaired, get a charge for that. You know, zero tolerance laws. If you have any trace of any illicit substance in your blood, that's you're under the influence. There's some legislative things that I think that we can do. Ignition interlock is not mandatory. Maybe it could be. That might be another deterrent that we could look at. School-based education, talking to our kids, trying to prevent things through education would also be something. Mass media campaigns, all of those types of things would be something that we should look at doing to prevent stuff like drinking and driving. The reason we stopped doing the Drive Smart program, we did it a couple years ago, we just discontinued because of some legislation that was passed that made it problematic for us to continue. We could get sued because we were offering this alternative, and so we stopped. But I would really like to see us work towards getting that type of a program back. I think it's a good deterrent.
Thank you, Mr. Bentrude. Mr. Dickhouse, how will you combat DUIs, DWIs, seatbelt enforcement, and texting while driving if you're elected Stearns County Sheriff? And how do you see the best solution to these numbers?
Well, we've been working hard at this this problem for a number of years, actually for the last 27 years that I've been in law enforcement. Arresting drunk drivers has always been our priority. We've all seen the carnage on the highways. We've all seen what can happen when people get wrecked or they're too intoxicated to drive or driving carelessly while drinking, either one. We work hard every day. We have officers who are very dedicated to making sure that we arrest as many people as we can. We recently added 4 unmarked vehicles to our fleet just to make sure that we can combat the latest scourge in our driving society, which is texting. Officers are able to kind of creep right up on people, whether it's stoplights or out in the country, wherever they happen to be. They can spot them when they're texting and driving. It makes them far easier for the officers to make that arrest. Drunk driving the same way. Out in the county, oftentimes you can see the marked squad car coming a mile away with an unmarked car. It's far easier for those folks to make arrests. Adding the 2 drug recognition experts, which is really a very technical skill that the officers are trained to do, to be able to identify people who are driving while intoxicated under the influence of a drug rather than alcohol. Oftentimes, they'll pull a car over, we'll get a driving complaint, and the person is zeros on the PBT, but they're obviously intoxicated or high in some regard. So we have added these specialized officers to make sure that we can detect that kind of activity and arrest those folks for that, whether it's marijuana, cocaine, or methamphetamines, even prescription drugs. We're able to pick those out. So that's a big plus for us. We've worked hard enough with that over the past few years. Deputies have been awarded for their dedication in drunk driving investigations and enforcement. Several of our officers have received what's called the Hat Trick Award, which means that they've arrested 3 drunk drivers in 1 shift. And that's pretty impressive when a shift is generally 10 hours long, and that's a lot of work. I remember back in when Dave and I were young, the DUI investigation could last a couple hours. Now they potentially have to write search warrants, write in their squad cars on their computers, which was unheard of 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. But the officers are trained and dedicated enough to do that, so that I give kudos to those folks. Two of our officers were awarded DWI All-Star Awards last year, or actually this spring. One of them arrested 30 drunk drivers in 1 year, and another one 39. That's 69 drunk drivers from 2 guys. That's pretty impressive. It's unfortunate, but it's impressive that the guys are working that hard to get those. So I'll continue to work as sheriff to aggressively investigate these types of crimes, making sure that people are held accountable. But of course, we can't arrest our way out of this crime either. There has to be education. There has to be information out there to make sure people understand and that they're going to be held accountable. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dickhouse. Mr. Bentrude, We've heard about it for the last 40, 50 years. Drugs are not hard to find in Stearns County. How will the Sheriff's Department, under your leadership, combat drug abuse, opioid abuse, and other drug-related problems?
You know, I shared earlier that what I would like to, when elected sheriff, is to create a directed patrol unit that certainly works with the Violent Offender Task Force, but is tied to patrol. As I've made my rounds around the county, I'm aware that there have been problem houses in New Munich, and there's problem trailer parks in near Avon and places like that that need directed investigative patrol activity, targeted patrol, and going after those individuals who are dealing narcotics. There's probably more connection between the metro area on the east end of town and the rural areas on the west end than you might realize when it comes to the flow of narcotics that are taking place within our county. So again, targeting violent offenders, drug dealers, searching for evidence, surveillance of high traffic areas, whatever the case might be. But, you know, I shared earlier too that I serve on the board for the Central Minnesota Mental Health Center. And I go to meetings oftentimes with detox staff. And, you know, detox, of course, is for chemical dependency issues. When you look at their statistics, the number one roadblock for an individual who has some issue of chemical dependency or drug use, the number one issue or roadblock is mental health. And so we need to figure out a way to develop a referral network that deals with the underlying mental health issues that are out there. Our jails, we have individuals in jail right now that maybe their only crime is being mentally ill. And maybe they've been disorderly technically, but that is an expensive way to house individuals that are suffering from mental illness. If we can deal with the underlying mental illness, I think we can prevent a lot of the drug use and narcotic sales that are taking place. They're self-medicating in many, many different ways. So I think that working both sides of that equation are really going to be important for us when it comes to reducing the use and abuse of narcotics, is dealing with some of the underlying issues that cause individuals to maybe self-medicate or use other drugs.
Thank you, Mr. Bentrud. Mr. Dickhouse, we've heard about it for the last 40, 50 years that drugs are not hard to find here in Stearns County. How will the Sheriff's Department, under your leadership, combat drug use and abuse, opioid abuse, and other abuses?
Having lived in Stearns County my entire life, I've heard those, I shouldn't say rumors, because I think they're actually probably pretty accurate, but I hear that a lot. Even out in Melrose, I've been told that a person could, score a methamphetamine within 10 minutes of any place in Melrose, which is a very sad remark, but it's unfortunately probably likely true. Stearns County has been a very big part of the Central Minnesota Drug Task Force and BODF for more than 20 years. Stearns County has a big footprint in there, dedicating one supervisor, two patrol officers, and a support staff. So it's four people that we put in there. As sheriff, I'll obviously continue to support the task force as best we can. They do great work. They produce a lot of cases. Sometimes they take a little while, but at the end of the day, we're able to make some great arrests, lock up a lot of people that need to be put away, and not just petty users and people who are addicted and scoring drugs on the corner. We're working hard to get the guys who bring the pound of meth in, or the 3 pounds of meth. Just did an interdiction on the interstate last week, one of our officers with a dog. The simple canine search came up with a pound of meth, which is just unbelievable. It would have been cut many, many times and, intoxicated or, been used by many people shortly thereafter had he sold it in Stearns County. We'll continue to train our officers to spot drug activity, to do better interdictions, work the interstates, work the back streets, collect information to share with the BODF and or investigate themselves, whichever is most effective at the time. No officer should be afraid to make a drug arrest. They need to have the training. Nobody, we don't want anybody to think, well, I'm not sure really what I'm supposed to do. We'll have people there always to make sure that they understand what the process is, how we're going to collect the drugs, how we're going to make the arrest, and move forward. Again, like Mr. Bentrud said, we can't arrest ourselves out of this problem. It's something that folks, they've got themselves into. They're going to be in it for the long haul. We need to figure out a way as a society really to prevent and address the drug problem. I think I have a minute here, and Dave's right. You know, our jails are full of people with mental illness, probably due to long-term hard drug use. And that'll continue to happen. It'll continue to be that way. You and I, taxpayers, are going to, you know, we're going to have that burden on us for as long as we can see in the near future. Sheriff's office is struggling with it. Our jail is full. And again, you know, it's because maybe they were just disorderly and they don't have any other place to go, but they end up in jail after they get treated. So we have a big, that's a big problem. It's something the sheriff needs to work hard on, work with partners at our state and federal levels to legislatures to make sure that we can address this. It's not just Stearns County, it's across the state of Minnesota. So as sheriff, I will dedicate my time as much as possible to address these problems.
Thank you, Mr. Dickhouse. Mr. Soika, we've heard about it for the last 40, 50 years. Drugs are not hard to find here in Stearns County. How will the Sheriff's Department, under your leadership, combat drug use and abuse, opioid abuse, and other abuses?
For about 6 years, I was on the Violent Offender Task Force, and that's what we did every day, pretty much day in, day out, and into the night. And I can honestly say that is true. You can get drugs just about anywhere. We literally bought heroin from a patient in the St. Cloud Hospital that was in there for care and was still selling while they were in there. We bought in a cornfield south of El Rosa. The guy who had us just meet him in the cornfield. So there is drugs pretty much everywhere, every size city. And again, it's the war on drugs has been going on since the 80s. I guess I'd be quite fearful if we stopped doing any type of enforcement action. Part of my being sheriff, we would continue with the Violent Offender Task Force. I would like to see maybe either an expansion or a reallocation of the personnel we have up there. One of the complaints that I did hear when I was out in the small towns is they just don't get the same amount of enforcement action from the task force as they do, say, in like St. Cloud. St. Cloud is a central location. A lot of our drug deals occur in St. Cloud. It does take up a lot of resources of votive. So I would like to dedicate an investigator pretty much to the to our west end of our county to deal with the small towns and be stationed maybe out of Albany PD one day and Melrose PD another day and travel around. And then, of course, when there's a need for the whole group, the entire task force can come and work on it. Part of my enforcement side of that also as a commander, I brought in criminal interdiction training for officers. It was free of charge. In fact, we had waiting lists for it and usually did that in January. I would continue to try and do that education. As Mr. Dickhouse said, officers need to know when they can do stuff. Quite honestly, some of the officers surprised me after they went through that class. The amount of traffic stops they were doing doubled, and they literally told me I just didn't know I could ask those type of questions of the people. And in fact, they could. So I would continue with the training part of it for law enforcement. As far as the education, I think is still key. We're not obviously having the DARE program, but still continuing to do some education in the schools. I believe getting into the jail and I know there's Narcotics Anonymous up there, but just continuing the education that goes on up there and any other place that we can do it. I frequently did talks as the commander of the task force for large groups, and I was pretty brutally honest with them about the type of drugs that were out there and the amounts. One thing that I'd like to bring, and I wouldn't be reinventing the wheel, and I'd have every intention of doing it, is there's a prescription drug task force that's highly successful in Morrison County. That is a multidisciplinary and attorneys, law enforcement, medical, doctors, pharmacists, and we could certainly bring that model of that to the St. Cloud area. Might be a little bit more difficult because they've only got one hospital up there and we've got several clinics, but I think it's time to take the time to look at that and again approach the prescription pill problem, which leads to a lot of other things.
Thank you, Mr. Soika. We've reached the end of our moderator questions, and now we will open it up to the floor. If you have questions for our candidates here, Brad Melke will go around with the microphone, and you certainly are welcome to ask our candidates questions here this evening. So anyone out there interested in asking a question of our candidates?
Thank you. Okay. All right. Thanks. First off, I'd like to thank all you officers for your great service. I applaud you for that. Police officers have a tough job. All of you, all three of you gentlemen seem to be very qualified and have great goals, and I also appreciate that. This question, I talked to you, each of you at the county fair, so you probably remember me. This question is about an ongoing safety issue, and it's for each of you. If you become sheriff, are you going to stop the reckless and dangerous driving on the county road, which runs through Main Street, St. Martin, during their annual party? And I'm sure you're all familiar with that. Also, if you are, how would you plan on stopping this before someone is seriously hurt or even worse?
Thank you. We will continue with our rotation. So, Mr. Bentrude, or excuse me, Mr. Dickhouse, excuse me, Mr. Dickhouse.
Thank you for your question, and I do remember you from the fair, and I appreciate the conversation and the frankness of your well, I don't know if it's a complaint so much as a question as to what the response would be. And I am familiar with the problem that you're referring to. It's something that we dealt with way back, even when I was a patrol officer and patrol supervisor years ago, over 10 years ago. And I have witnessed the burnouts and the donuts and the activity that occurs on the County Road 12 there. I've attended council meetings in the city of St. Martin, answered questions about enforcement, tried to offer solutions and different ways to address what happens out there in front of the bar. In some ways, I didn't get a lot of response. Oftentimes, I was hard-pressed to find somebody to actually complain about it, even though it was an obvious violation of the law. People are, driving carelessly. I did receive information just this recent, actually the last 2 years, that it appears to be getting worse over there. I understand that it's a one-time thing or once-a-year thing, and there's some benefits for the community as far as the sales of hamburgers and hot dogs and beers and things like that for the Lions Club. But at some point, we have to ask ourselves how we should address this as adults and put an end to it. I would be happy to work with the fathers the council, I should call them, over in St. Martin to try to address the situation, come up with a reasonable solution that's amicable to both the bar owner and as well as the citizens of St. Martin. They don't deserve to have that. It is getting very dangerous to be the one to have to answer as sheriff. You guys knew this was going on for years and you didn't do anything about it. So I'm not going to be that guy. We will address it. And when I'm sheriff, and we'll do whatever we can to stop it.
Thank you, Mr. Dickhouse. Mr. Soika.
So, yes, thank you for your question. I do remember speaking with you. You told me to have a plan, so I came up with a plan, but I don't know if it would a plan that will work, but we have to see. One thing, we're talking about the city of St. Martin. I would agree with Mr. Dickhouse. There's kind of a let's look the other way for this one day type of thing, and it does get to the point where things get out of control. Something has to be done. This particular day, I can tell you that I was working. I was the supervisor on day shift. I was supposed to have 14 officers on that day. I ended up with 5, and it was a Saturday, and so we didn't have a chance to do a lot of enforcement. That was a drop day, but there's other things, for instance, going to License Center West to maintain a metal detector and being at a MAD panel at St. Cloud State, that we're required to be at on a Saturday. So it took a lot of resources. As I mentioned at the fair to you, one thing that I did do is I asked my superiors for the possibility of having this TZ grant, which would incorporate several agencies strictly for traffic enforcement to come to town, knowing that we weren't going to have a lot of people working. If you get a nice Saturday in Stearns County, you do a lot of running around, and there isn't a lot of time to be proactive, as David mentioned. So I guess my plan for that would be, if I was elected, sit down with the business owner. and I know that falls on deaf ears sometimes. I do believe that he's become somewhat educated in the fact that he has now built his own burnout pad, so to try and keep it off the road. I realize that that doesn't always happen, though. You know, so do some education with him, approach the city council again and just reiterate, and then probably just do some extra enforcement. Try to get this TZD group to come in. It incorporates troopers and St. Cloud Police and numerous agencies, and it's strictly for traffic purposes, and it seems to me that there's not a better opportunity to do traffic enforcement than when these guys are doing some burnouts. I know the county solution, we tried to put up a stop sign there to try and alleviate that. That doesn't seem to have worked necessarily. I try to do some education, and it might just be good old-fashioned parking some squad cars right outside, you know, and trying to do some deterrence and some education through some enforcement.
Thank you, Mr. Soika. Mr. Bentrud.
I'd have to say that I would have zero tolerance for burnouts on roadways where other vehicles could be traveling or alcohol being involved. I just, it goes against my grain as a law enforcement officer. I will say this, though, that one of the first parades we did when I launched my campaign was the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and there were a lot of people there, and everything was going fine until somebody decided they wanted to do a burnout, and a woman fell off the vehicle that she was on, hit her head on the pavement, and pretty much the parade was over after that. But, and that's maybe why I feel strongly about it. But at the same time, I see an event like that. There were cars as far as the eye could see. So when you have an event that popular, that people want to come to, is there a way to figure out a way to do kind of a controlled situation where there's due regard for safety, there's due regard for no alcohol being involved, you know, for purposes of civic community fun? We got tractor pulls, we got all those things going on at the fair, right? You know, can we do that? I love muscle cars. I wish I had one of my own. I get it. But I would have to say on public roadways, I couldn't, in good faith, turn a blind eye to that. It's just too many things can go bad, wrong. Too many people can be hurt. And short of an alternative where it's more controlled, I couldn't support that.
Thank you, Mr. Bentrud. Other questions from our audience here tonight?
I live in Holdingford, and I appreciate you all taking the time to come out to our Holdingford Days Parade. Recently, we have had vandalism in Holdingford, and is there the type of thing that people could do that, for instance, if you see like 10 or 12 year olds out at midnight or past the town's curfew, is that something that should be called into Stearns County?
Mr. Soika.
So that's a good question. There's been what I would say some increasing juvenile problems in Holdingford. I will say that the school resource officer that we are planning on starting in the fall has already started with some summer school visits, and he is one of the people that was able to kind of solve those vandalisms with the spray painting by being in the schools already. That's how much that's paying off for us. Yes, there is a curfew, I believe, in Holdingford, so I would highly suggest you call the sheriff's office. In fact, I spoke with him about, you know, the kids aren't dumb. They see a squad car. There's not a ton of traffic moving around in Holdingford, you know, typically. So we talked about doing some type of special enforcement where we park down the out of town and the officers bike in. We have bikes that the officers can use, and then they can move around quietly and write some curfew violations and deliver those kids back to their parents with some education to the parents about, you know, keep an eye on their kid. I think if you did some curfew violations and got some of the point across, you know, we don't want to be overbearing and be big meanies, but at the same time, it's a lot like the same word thing. You have to draw the line at some point, and these particular kids have been kind of running around doing all kinds of things, so it's probably time for some extra enforcement, or not even extra enforcement, but just a different method of doing the enforcement.
Thank you, Mr. Soika. Mr. Bantrud?
You know, again, just going back to technology, that's where if we could better utilize technology, do what we refer to as crime mapping or hotspot mapping, that kind of thing can look at a number of different crimes, theft from vehicle, daytime burglaries, you know, whatever the crime might be, and identify where those things are occurring, identify when they're occurring, and but obviously we, and part of that is that human intelligence, if you will, of people calling in, reporting those things, and allowing us, if we catch them in the act, and my guess is it's probably two or three people doing a series of these things, you know, if everybody that sees something and has some information calls it in, might give us a piece of the puzzle that we can try to solve or identify who's doing it. A lot of stuff like that flows through the school. School resource officer probably is going to have an idea as far as who's doing it. So again, it's using technology, human as well as data, to try to identify where those problems are occurring.
Thank you, Mr. Bantrud. Mr. Dickhouse.
I can't agree with more with Mr. Soika and Mr. Bantrud. It's really law enforcement 101, and absolutely you should call those in. You can call even on 911; they might put you on hold, but you're absolutely welcome to call in at any time. Like Dave said, it's probably the same little group of kids, but if you don't address it, it's going to keep growing. They're going to become more flagrant about it and think that they can do whatever they want. So there is a, you know, like Steve said, we don't have to be the hardliner every time. We can address it more of a warning type basis. Bring the kids home. Now we know who you are. You know, next time I come back, if I see red paint on your fingertip, I'm pretty sure I know who my vandals are. But yeah, you know, and if it doesn't work, you can work your way up through the court system. There's always ways to address those things. Really, like I say, law enforcement 101, we really just need somebody to report it and to be willing to say, maybe even stay on the line for a minute and say, oh, they're going this way now, we're going that way, well, until the officer can get there and, you know, put the grabs on these fellas. So probably not the crime of the century, but it's one of those things where if we don't address it at the beginning, it can just, you know, continue to grow and become worse, and then it becomes a serious problem.
Thank you, Mr. Dickhouse. Other questions?
Again, thank you for your service. I was in law enforcement for a while, and yes, it is an interesting job. Sheriff Gunmanson started a newsletter when he was in office. Will you continue that when you're in office?
And Mr. Bantrud.
Absolutely. That is one of the first things that I noticed that Sheriff Gunmanson implemented. I thought it was a great idea. And I think I would try to go even maybe a step further in that. And I've been, you know, I went to some town hall meeting, township board meetings, and I'm a candidate for sheriff. And I was the closest thing that some of those township boards had seen of county representative. I think we need to make sure that we're communicating information down to the township level about, you know, back to the point about the vandalism and those types of things. These townships need to know what's happening in their area, and I believe we can create a situation where we are not only communicating stories and life-saving things and that are all good stuff, but also real information about what is happening out there. So absolutely, it's Kelly does a great job developing that every week, and I've gotten to look forward to getting it myself. So it's definitely a very nice addition to the sheriff's office.
Thank you, Mr. Bantrud. Mr. Dickhouse.
Thank you. And as one of the people who actually writes those articles, yes, we would continue to do it. And it's really got an underlying effect. And part of that is exactly what we all have talked about tonight, and that's sharing of information, being open, being collaborative, or at least communicating with people out in the county, so they get a little better idea of what we're doing, what the result of maybe a case was, or maybe they saw something in the paper and they really, you know, sometimes we put a funny spin on it because it usually can't believe some of the things people do, but it is really a way to try to be more open and forthcoming with the information that we have and the things that happen around the county. I would also take that a step further and make sure that whether it be attending, and I've attended many city council meetings and county board meetings outside of my campaign, with the 800 megahertz and the different things that I've brought forth. But it really is a way to, it does, and a lot of people don't like to be at a formal meeting. Oh, we're going to have a community meeting tonight. Well, a lot of people might come, but nobody's going to say anything because I don't want to ask that question. That might be a dumb question. There's no such thing, but they're not going to ask it. We can go have coffee. I'll meet at Charlie's on this every first Friday of the month. I'm going to be at Painesville Hilltop on the third Thursday of every month. So people kind of get an idea of where the sheriff's going to be at, or at least one of his representatives, so they can ask those kind of private questions like, well, what happened with this case? People feel more comfortable when they get a result. We had all these burglaries, but I never really heard what happened there. Should I be aware? No, we caught that guy. He's, took him to jail, and he's probably sitting in jail right now. So just some simple things like that to share that information. And that's really what that newsletter is about. And, and it's really I think we're all on the same page here to make sure that we all take that next step and be out there, be available, and be approachable to the citizens of Stearns County.
Thank you, Mr. Dickhouse. Mr. Soika.
Obviously, my answer would be yes also to the newsletter. That would seem ridiculous to stop that. I've heard a lot of positive stuff about that, both from agencies and the community. It is about being transparent. I have every intention, if I'm the sheriff, to be out of the office a lot more than what we've had out in the community. I do believe that there's some merit to some town hall meetings. You don't have to have them frequently, but you throw a town hall meeting together, and if I come, say, to this room in Albany and nobody comes, I'm not out anything, but at least I was here and I can say I gave you guys the opportunity. I know we can post stats and things all day long on websites and online, and you guys can look that stuff up, but it certainly doesn't give you the opportunity to ask questions of your sheriff's office. I also attended a lot of city council meetings, still have some more to go, township board meetings, and honestly, one of the biggest themes, I guess, or one of the biggest things that I was told, and I would have swore they all got together to say this, but a lot of these city councils, mayors, and community members said, we only see the sheriff once every 4 years, wants to lead the parade, and then he leaves, and it's on the election year, and that shouldn't be. It should be when all the time. I have every intention of coming out of the office. I know it's not devoid of the fact that it's a big operation, that I'll have to be in the office and there'll be office work. But there's also, I had mentioned at the very beginning of this, that this is a business to me, in the business of public and public safety. And if I don't get out of the office and talk to you guys, I won't know how to efficiently run the sheriff's office and cater to the public, who is the biggest customers of everyone. That's the direction that I want to take the sheriff's office, much more community-oriented along the lines of the newsletter, but also just demos and public safety in the park nights and things like that, so that you get an opportunity to talk to your sheriff's deputies and talk to your sheriff and your admin people. So that is the direction that I will go. But yes, long answer to your, I will keep the newsletter.
Thank you, Mr. Soika. Any other questions? In respect of time, too, I want to give the candidates one last opportunity. Why me? Why me? We got to see something very unique tonight. A lot of these gentlemen here, maybe a press conference that they haven't done before. They reacted under pressure. Mr. Dickhouse had the mic fail. Mr. Soika had the sign fall while he was talking, and those listeners out there don't see that, but it happened, and these guys just took it in stride. And I truly believe that whoever we elect will be a true representative of our county. And so with that being said, I will go back to Mr. Dickhouse. Why me?
Well, to get going here, it kind of surprised me because we all got big stacks of notes here, and this is completely sort of throw us off our game. But I appreciate the opportunity to be here and to talk to folks. You know, we're at the fair this weekend, and probably have more fairs and parades coming up, and it really gives us an idea. And I was very nervous at first in attending some of these forums and public events, but after you spend time out there talking to people, and you get kind of a feel for the questions, and all of a sudden they're kind of the same bunch of questions all the time, and you're able to formulate a reasonable answer, and you have to dig a little deeper sometimes and make sure that's actually what you mean and that's how you feel. So these are great. I really enjoy them. Once the butterflies go away and my mic stops squeaking at me, you know, it's just fine. I want to be your sheriff. I think I've got the experience. I've got the background for it. I've worked hard my entire career to get to where I got to go or where I want to go. It's always been my goal to be sheriff. I really hope you'll support me on August 14th at the primary, and I look forward to seeing you in November. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dickhouse. Mr. Soika, why me?